Please be seated.
Oops.
And let us pray. Now, gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. But the Lord was with Joseph. These are words that I think are the center point of our reading for today. But the Lord was with Joseph. That tiny little word, but, right? What a difference it makes in a sentence. It changes the entire meaning of a sentence. You know it. You've been in those. I've often wondered what's coming. Somebody might start with, you know, she always seemed like such a nice person. And you know there's a but coming, right? And it's going to switch somehow. So often the but is used change something to negative, but with our God, the but always turns things around. I'm going to talk a lot about the word but today, and at risk of not giggling like a schoolgirl, I may also use the word however, all right? So however turns things around, both for Joseph and for us. I kept going back to that phrase over and over. We get this story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Some of you may know the story of Joseph. This is a story that doesn't get told very often, perhaps, as Carrie said, because it's quite scandalous. But it sits kind of right in the middle of Joseph's story. But in many ways, what it does is continue to tell some of the same story that Joseph has been experiencing through his life. Joseph starts as kind of a bratty little kid. He's favored by his parents. He gets a great, you know, you might have heard of the robe of many colors, right? The coat of many colors. And he brags about it to his older brothers. And they throw him in a pit, right? Not starting so well so far. He gets out, but to get out, he's sold into slavery. Eventually, he ends up here in Potiphar's house, at which time Potiphar's wife makes these false accusations, and he ends up back in prison. Once in prison, he interprets dreams for a man there who then says, you know what, Joseph, when I get out of jail, I'm going to remember you, and I'm going to get you out of prison. But the man doesn't. And so Joseph sits for 2 more years in that prison. Over and over again, these things are happening around Joseph. Things in many ways he can't control. But always, it says through the story, the Lord is with him. And Joseph, I think, knows that and feels that and continues to live a life of hope and kindness and integrity. He stands up for the God who stands up for him. The thing about Joseph through all of these stories is that he's powerless. He's powerless in the ways of the world. When he gets thrown in that pit, he's just a little boy. He's powerless against his brothers. He's powerless against the wife of a wealthy person, right? He is in the position of a slave or a servant there. He's powerless. And once he gets in prison, he has no voice at all when this man leaves him there. The good news for Joseph is that our God always stands on the side of the powerless. And our God came to put the end of the sentence, the however, for the powerless. Jesus came into the world and said to the lepers, "No one else will touch you, but I will." He said to the tax collectors, "Everybody in town thinks you're a jerk, but I will have dinner with you." He says to death, "Everyone thinks death is the end, but I know there is life after death." And he says to the people in power over and over again, "You are in power now, but in my kingdom, things will be turned upside down." Jesus came to show the world that the power we see around us, the forces that sometimes make us feel like we have no options and nowhere to turn, are not the final word. God's kingdom will bring about the final word. So when you feel powerless, when you don't know what to do, when people have done things to you that are wrong, know that God is with you. Know that you are not alone. But then also, I want you to think about the power that you do have. Because as I was thinking about this story, I thought, you know, in the world's eyes, Joseph was very powerless, right? The little brother, the slave, the prisoner, and yet he had great power. God had given him this gift to interpret dreams. And he went into the prison and interpreted dreams for people. And in the end, that power will get him out of jail. And he will be in the court of Pharaoh. And at the very end of this story, his brothers will come back to him, not knowing it is him. And he will have the power to either condemn them or forgive them. And he will use that power to forgive. We all actually have much more power than we realize. We have the power of our words. We have the power of our actions. Our words and our actions hold so much power, we may not realize it, but they do. And we have the power to work in the world and be in relationship with Jesus to finish the ends of those sentences. To be the buts, to be the howevers. I was reading a story this week about some women in New Zealand. New Zealand was the first country in the world to give women the right to vote. It was in 1893. And the push for voting was from the Women's Christian Temperance Movement. And at the time, and I don't know how tongue-in-cheek this was, it was probably sort of true, said the top three causes of death in New Zealand were drinking, drowning, and drowning while drinking, right? And so the women decided this was not what they wanted. And if you had looked at them, they had very little power, but they worked and they worked until they could have the power to vote because they wanted to change something. We have power, and when we put it together like these women did, we can do amazing things. Look at these quilts around us. It doesn't have to be as big as giving women the right to vote. That's fantastic. But these quilts, we're finishing someone's sentence in a different way, aren't we? There are people in the world who go to bed every night cold. But by making these quilts and then sending them around the world, someone will be warm tonight that wasn't last night. That's using the power of stitches to change the world. Today is hunger awareness, and we're gathering in food for the food pantry as we do all year. That's another way we change the sentence, isn't it? There are people in our community, too many, who are food insecure. But by using the power you have to simply buy a can of beans, you can change somebody's life. You have power. Believe in that power that God gives you to change the world, to change the end of the sentence, to be the however in the world. I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you feel beaten down by the world and powerless. If you do, I pray you know that God goes with you, no matter where you are or what situation you find yourself in. And then I pray that you can also see the great power that your life holds, so that together we can be the howevers in this world. Amen. We'll sing our hymn of the day through three times.